This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We've got another hour wherein we can answer your questions. It's our number, 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK. And in a moment, we're going to answer the question, can you literally exercise yourself to death? There's a new study that sheds light on that question. But before we get to that, we got a caller. We got Greg from New Jersey. Welcome.
Hello there.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I have went to see Dr. Goodman by the recommendation of your radio show.
He's a cardiologist. He's actually head of integrative medicine at NYU, and he's an integrative cardiologist. Good guy.
So I went to him, and he was a fantastic guy, and I got all my assessments done, and he went out on medical leave, unfortunately, before he had time to assess my data that he was able to collect. And my cholesterol is very, very high, and they're looking to put me on a statin. I'd like to know what your recommendation is to where I can seek some help that would be more like Dr. Goodman would prescribe.
Sure. Well, okay. I mean, first of all, you don't necessarily need a cardiologist to render that advice. In fact, if you go to a cardiologist, most cardiologists, unlike Dr. Goodman, have drunk the statin Kool-Aid, so to speak. They're very, very much proponents of statin drugs, and they'll look for virtually any pretext to put you on a statin drug because they just believe that they're protective. You know, just like an aspirin a day is protective, they believe that, you know, anything resembling high cholesterol in a male who's middle-aged, they're going to want to put them on a statin by default. That's their, you know, signature move. So, so what is your cholesterol?
Well, my total is 290.
Yeah, that's fine.
My triglycerides are 691.
Whoa. Your triglycerides are 691. Okay, so that's very significant right there. And that tells me a lot. So in an effort to lower your cholesterol, what kind of diet are you following?
Well, I'm not eating any sugar. I've been off sugar completely, and I try to stick to protein and vegetables and take my vitamins.
Mm-hmm. But when you have a triglyceride of 691, it suggests that either you got some kind of rip-roaring metabolic problem or else you're consuming too much in the way of carbohydrates, perhaps starch, if not sugar. And you may be, you know, I suspect you may be trying to follow a low cholesterol diet, which sometimes engenders a need for more dietary carbohydrate just to provide satiety.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you having for breakfast? Just give me an example. What's your breakfast, for example? That tells me a lot.
I have oatmeal with fruit in it.
Well, there you go. Boom.
And nuts. Fruit and nuts. Yeah, that's
boom,
carbohydrates.
Boom shakalaka. Boom shakalaka.
Right.
Because what you're doing is you're stuffing yourself with natural carbohydrates. And yeah, fruit's beneficial, and yeah, you know, oatmeal's got a lot of fiber. But when you have a susceptibility to high triglycerides, you're going to generate much higher triglycerides through starch consumption. So you need supervision on a very low carbohydrate diet, because maybe metabolically you're prone to that. What's your height and weight?
I'm 135 pounds, 5'6".
Okay, so this is truly a metabolic anomaly, because you're not overweight, you're sort of bantam weight, and, you know, this is more about your genetics than some kind of horrible diet. But in order to turn things around with a high triglycerides like that, you're going to need a low-carb diet. And so you have, I mean, the oatmeal's not going to be beneficial there. You actually would benefit more from, you know, some sort of protein, even eggs, because that'll at least provide you with the satiety that's necessary to fend off carb craving, and you won't need the, you know, you won't need the fruit, and you won't need the starch, you won't need the, you know, potatoes and French fries and rice and things like that that can raise your triglycerides. It turns out that actually fructose, fruit sugar, is one of the things that's most likely to raise your triglycerides. So you know, another thing that can do that is if you have too much in the way of vegetable oil, especially things like soy oil. Are you consuming it's like polyunsaturated fats to a high extent?
No, just olive oil.
Olive oil, which is good.
Right.
All right. So, so here's how you sound like you're pretty young. How old are you?
51.
You are young.
Really young?
Yeah, I consider it young.
I didn't know if that was young or not. Okay.
From my standpoint, it's young. Yeah, you're young. And so here's what you need to do. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They sent me for scans of my carotid artery and my heart, and that came out that there was no blockages and no plaque in my arteries. Is that
bingo? Bingo. That is very significant. And now I'm going to you're really teeing me up to share a story that I really wanted to share with our listeners today. So here goes. You had probably what's called an EBT heart scan, which measures coronary calcium. And I have in my hands a new study that is published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, which suggests that individuals like you who have zero plaque, and I presume that your reporting is correct. You know, we sent you for a scan. You said they didn't find any plaque.
Right.
The headline of this article is a 15-year warranty period for asymptomatic individuals without coronary artery calcium. What that means is that you got 15 years that are worry-free if you have zero plaque. So in spite of the fact that your cholesterol is 290 and your triglycerides is 691, that's bad, but it doesn't mean that you're on the verge of 50. You know, 51 is quite a plausible age for a man to develop heart disease. You know, men are developing earlier and earlier. But you have a coronary calcium score of zero. And what they say here is that a coronary calcium score of zero confers a 15-year warranty period against death in individuals at low to intermediate risk that is unaffected by age or sex. So there you go. I was pleased to see that, you know, at the age of 64 last year, I went to get a precisely that scan. I did it with a little trepidation because I kind of didn't want to get any bad news. But fortunately, I got good news. I had zero plaque. And that's important when it comes to a decision about statins. Nonetheless, you know, when you're 51, what do you want to live, another 50 years or so? Yeah, give or take, right? So that right. You are at risk because 15 years just takes you to your mid-60s. And you don't want to start getting heart disease in your mid-60s like most men do. So you really should do things to lower your cholesterol. But it's not imperative that you go on a statin. And what you can do is, you know, try the ultra-low-carb diet, see what happens, because you need to get those triglycerides down. Take a lot of fish oil. Take 6 capsules of fish oil a day, because that lowers triglycerides. Consider niacin, because niacin will also lower triglycerides and will lower cholesterol. But do so under the supervision of a health professional, because niacin can affect the liver. But it's excellent for lowering triglycerides, and it will lower cholesterol. I don't use much niacin these days, except in people who have high triglycerides. And the other thing is, use bergamot, which is great for lowering cholesterol. It also has a bit of an antioxidant effect that reduces inflammation on the interior of the arteries. So it's dual effect. It doesn't just lower cholesterol, but it also has an anti-inflammatory effect. And, you know, other things, pantothene will lower cholesterol. You can use things like the phytosterols, plant phytosterols. If you really need to dramatically lower cholesterol, which I don't think you do, you may say, well, how's this guy going to leave me stranded with a cholesterol of 290? I do it all the time in patients who have zero plaque. I just saw a woman who had, she has a cholesterol of 320. And she has zero plaque. And the reason I don't want to put her on a statin drug is she has multiple sclerosis. And I'm worried about the effect of the statins on her brain by reducing cholesterol. The brain's made of cholesterol. She has a brain disorder. I don't really want to lower her cholesterol, which may be protective against progression of her MS. So with zero plaque, even though she has a high cholesterol, I'm okay with that. And, oh, by the way, what's your HDL? What's the good cholesterol?
HDL-C is 34.
So that's actually a bad ratio. So you are a paradox. You're actually, which suggests that we don't know everything that we need to know about cardiovascular risk, because on paper, you're walking time bomb. But when it comes to looking at your coronary arteries and looking at your carotid arteries, they're clean, which suggests there may be some protective factor, and maybe we'll discover it in, you know, the year 2022, that you have that confers protection against cardiovascular disease. We don't know about it yet, but maybe future research will tell you why you have Teflon arteries. And in spite of a high cholesterol and a lousy HDL, high triglycerides, you're still not getting cardiovascular disease.
Would you recommend a certain professional who can control this?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you need to take a nutritional route. I mean, I'm not going to give you a specific recommendation. I think Dr. Goodman is back online. He might have taken a short medical leave, but I think he's probably still seeing patients, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Just follow it up with a nutritionally oriented health professional. I would be willing to follow up on your case. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Interesting question. Thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Our number 877-726-8255. We'll finally get around to talking about whether you can exercise yourself to death, according to a new study. But first, let's take a call from Chris in Wisconsin. Hi, Chris.
Hello, doctor. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I just had a couple of quick questions. But first of all, I guess I just wanted to know, I'm starting to get into these teeth whiteners.
Yeah.
Like everybody else is. And do you find anything to be leery of, or would they cause any danger, do you think, in long-term use?
Well, you talk about the over-the-counter kind, right? The ones that you purchase?
Yes.
Yeah. So the deal is that most of these things use a bleaching agent, which is, you know, regular hydrogen peroxide. And for safety reasons, the amount of hydrogen peroxide is limited in the over-the-counter products to about 0.1%. And there may be other ingredients in there that help with the whitening process. When dentists or health professionals do the procedure, and, you know, this is really, it should be done by a licensed dental professional, they're able to use higher concentrations. And that's because they're, you know, they know what they're doing. They exercise appropriate safety precautions. But the concern is that, you know, it is a bleach, and bleach can be damaging to the gums, you know, whether you do it on your own or whether you do it at home. And sometimes people complain of increased tooth and gum sensitivity after such a procedure. I had one patient who was suffering from ulcerative colitis and was doing fine on her diet, supplements, did great, and then decided to have teeth whitening. And, you know, we looked up some of the ingredients, and probably he swallowed some of the ingredients, and that may have caused irritation in his intestine. He'd have full-blown recurrence of his ulcerative colitis in the wake of tooth whitening. So, I mean, that's a special case. The average person may not experience such adverse effects, but there's a caution flag around that. And so, you know, I don't know precisely the, you know, variations, the different approaches there, but it's all based on sort of a bleaching technique. And there are some people who are offering it kind of a, you know, garage version of a professional dental consultation, and those are people too. Be absolutely avoided. They're like the same people who inject silicone into your butt. They're unlicensed. They don't know what they're doing, and it can be dangerous. And they're using sometimes ingredients which are illegal. So go ahead. You had a second part to your question?
This is not about dental, but when I was younger, I had speech difficulties, and I was just wondering, can that affect your learning capabilities?
Well, no. I mean, there's sort of a disconnect between expression and reception. You know, in other words, you could be mute but intelligent, and you know, it's more about, you know, what can affect your learning is the ability to hear, the ability to process. I don't know the nature of your speech deficit, but it's certainly not apparent in this phone call. You seem to have overcome it. And all you have to do is see The King's Speech, which is a great movie about somebody with a speech impediment who managed to lead a country during its probably most profound crisis in modern history, and did so admirably and delivered some pretty darn good speeches during that period. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry that reflects any other kind of brain anomaly that could affect your intelligence. I mean, in some cases, yeah. I mean, somebody who has, you know, some severe brain disorder, cerebral palsy or something like, you know, maybe there are other parts of the brain affected, but it could be that you just took an isolated hit on your speech apparatus that doesn't affect your overall intelligence. I mean, it's just like people who have ADD, attention deficit disorder, or dyslexia is another example, is that, you know, it's like an isolated brain defect that can cause problems with learning, but doesn't mean the people aren't intelligent. You know, their IQ is still sometimes into the superior range if they can overcome their isolated disability. So thanks for your call. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and when we return, we will get to it. Can you exercise yourself to death? A new study says. We'll share that with you in just a moment. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey. Wow, your child actually asks for nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep. Thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And before we get to phone calls, our number, by the way, is 877-726-8255. And we have some callers on the line. I want to share this story with you. And I share it with a little bit of trepidation because it's a story that suggests that you can exercise yourself to death, according to a new study. And I share it with some reluctance because for those who are sedentary, for those who adopt the old adage, whenever the urge to exercise overcomes me, I lie down until it passes. That's an old aphorism, I think, attributable to George Bernard Shaw, if I'm not mistaken. Whenever you share these with the general public, it kind of provides an excuse for people who don't exercise, and exercise is beneficial. So many studies have shown, and not just for your physical health and longevity, but also to protect your brain. But there may be what's called a U-shaped curve in terms of exercise. Too little, and you have a high risk of dying. Just right, and you'll live longer and better. But if you overdo it, you could be in for some trouble. And I've actually seen this in my practice. I have some really high-end exercisers in my practice, guys who are, and some gals who are hooked on exercise. And paradoxically, we've discovered that they have premature coronary artery disease. They have high plaque scores. I previously said that a plaque score of zero guarantees you 15 trouble-free years. Well, if you have a plaque score that's in the hundreds, you're at risk, in spite of the fact that you're exercising. And I'm talking about really high-end exercise. I'm talking about hundreds of miles on a bike every week, competing in events that are hundreds of miles long, without sleep, virtually without rest. Ultra-marathoners, not enough to do a marathon, but these guys will do Ironman triathlons, which involve swimming and bicycling up to hundreds of miles, followed by a marathon just for dessert. So I'm a high-end exerciser, but I don't do that. And what they found in this study is that white men, more on that in just a moment, who work out at least 7.5 hours a week are nearly twice as likely to suffer from heart disease as those who do a moderate amount, a new study shows. Well, sometimes I work out at least 7.5 hours a week, but at last check, I have zero coronary artery disease, according to a calcium scan that I undertook just this year. Researchers in Chicago compared 25, and I am white, so I should be at risk, but I'm not way over the top in terms of my exercise performance. Researchers in Chicago compared 25-year exercise patterns and made the surprising discovery that very active white men are 86% more likely to experience a buildup of plaque in the heart arteries by middle age. Why this didn't apply to black men, they don't know. So right there, that is suspect. When you see a study that has such an anomaly that black athletes did not have, they were somehow protected, I just don't get it. I don't get it, because we're different externally, but we're not that different fundamentally. Suggests some problems with this study. But what they found is that there are higher levels of coronary artery calcium on average in very high-end exercisers. And the reason for that may be that just the hemodynamic stress of the blood pumping with force against the arterial walls may cause damage or inflammation and thus lead to calcification, an effort to repair the damage to the arteries. And it may be that this damage or this calcium is not necessarily associated with a higher risk of dying. It may just be something that you can go to your grave with happily at the age of 95. They didn't say that they were at higher risk of having heart disease or dying. They just said higher risk of having coronary artery plaque. But very high-end exercisers, men who have a lifelong history of exercise and very, very high, long-distance, high-volume exercise, they do have a higher risk of heart enlargement, which can sometimes lead to cardiac arrhythmias. And I've seen that in men with atrial fibrillation who are big exercisers. That's a different type of heart problem, but it involves the electrical system of the heart. So at the end of the study, they kept smiling. I said,
It does not suggest that anyone should stop exercising. They don't want people to get the wrong message. But it does suggest a bit of a caution flag on very high levels of exercise, especially a lifetime commitment to endurance events. And I heed that caution, but I'm reassured that my exercise provides me with stress reduction, mental focus, a feeling of well-being, and I have myself checked. And things are looking okay when it comes to my coronary arteries. Okay, so let's take a call now from Barbara in New Jersey. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, doctor. Thank you for taking this call.
My pleasure.
I have a dilemma with my long-term care insurance.
Yeah.
They're increasing the premium over 30% over the next 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's exorbitantly high.
Yeah.
I could
just just give me an idea. What are you paying? If you don't mind sharing.
Right now, almost $7,000 a year.
$7,000 a year. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, right. that's the standard, because I had that policy, that type of policy, for many years, and I surrendered it. I gave it up. Which you have to do, actually, when you reach, quote, retirement age. I'm not retired, but, reaching 65, they just don't offer it anymore. So I said, fine,
Yeah.
And how old are you?
Well, 70. I'll be 77 next month.
Okay. So well. Different story.
I've been paying this for, 12 years now.
Yeah.
Now, my dilemma is, to reduce the premium, should I reduce the benefit period from... Mm-hmm. 5 years to 4 years.
Okay, so this is kind of like a financial show question, but I have some views on it. And the question is long-term disability worth it? And there's pros and cons to it. I'll tell you why I undertook it, is because I had a lot of responsibility for a big medical practice where I employed lots of people and where the expenses that I was carrying were very great. And let's say, I went skiing and I had some, a terrible injury, like a major concussion, and I wasn't able to work for 6 months. The whole thing would go to pot. And at the end of my recovery, all the employees would be dispersed to the four winds. My practice would be devastated, and I wouldn't be able to pay my rent, which was very high. And so I had to, for business reasons, keep a long-term disability policy. When you get older, generally when people are older, their expenses vis-a-vis business decline, and their productivity also declines. So it's basically a way of protecting your productivity going forward. If you're 50, you don't want to lose your business because you're sidelined for 6 months. But when you're 77, why are you paying that long-term disability insurance? What's your rationale for having done that?
Well, if I have to go into a nursing home, would get better care, wouldn't I, if I, can afford the higher cost?
Right. Well, that's another consideration. And it's a tough dilemma because here you are, trying to hedge your bets. You've been paying, now tens of thousands of dollars in the hopes of defraying costs later, tens of thousands of dollars that you may have properly invested in an effort to self-insure. And I actually think that that's a better way of going about this, is to self-insure, because, let's hope that you could go along until you're in your 90s and then maybe not require chronic care. Maybe, nature will take its course and, you'll fall off the end of the aging curve. And you won't require long-term hospitalization or nursing home care that'll bankrupt you and your family. It's a gamble. But, I'm generally more in favor of what's called self-insurance, which involves some discipline. But, hey, you're saving a lot of money to pay out to this insurance company to disperse the money back to you. And that's kind of a, it's kind of an inefficient way of managing your money, because you're giving it off to somebody else to pay you back later, is the way I look at it.
Yeah,
so, this is actually, there are plenty of financial shows on the weekends, And you may want to give them a call because it's actually more of a financial question. What's the dollar risk-benefit equation on that in terms of the economics of this? But philosophically, why I did it is, I self-insure against the eventuality that later in life I may require chronic care. You could also, another consideration is, you look to your family and, is your family making any kind of commitment to help to care for you or support you? Or are you alone in the world? Or is your family not economically prepared to help you later in life? These are all the considerations that go into getting an LTD, a long-term disability policy. But they're very expensive the older you are. And for good reason, sure. Because the expense of care in a nursing home is exorbitant. And unfortunately, a lot of people develop chronic diseases like Alzheimer's, where they're literally warehoused for years and years and years. And this could, bankrupt you and bankrupt your family. It's a tough decision to make. And, you don't know the future, so it makes it even tougher. Yeah, that's all I can say on that subject.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Interesting question. It's medically related, but it's kind of a financial show question. And I hope this lady finds her way to a good financial advisor to help her make, the most rational decision. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our number 877-726-8255. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
The pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's RegActiv.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. And we're taking calls. Let's talk to Peggy in New Jersey.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. Hi. I've been taking Nexium for my stomach, and I just wondered if I know you've spoken about the side effects of the Nexium, and if I get a flu shot, will I get any adverse side effects because I'm taking Nexium?
There should be nothing foreseeable that Nexium could make worse. But how old are you?
67.
You're 67. So, officially, they want you to, they want everybody to get a flu shot these days, but especially in the, quote, senior population, they want you to get a flu shot. And this year, they're teeing up a new flu vaccine, which is the high-dose flu vaccine for seniors. And why high-dose? Well, in the past, the flu vaccine hasn't worked for precisely the population that's supposed to work for because if a young, healthy, strapping individual gets the flu, generally it's a week of misery, but they're not going to have serious medical complications. But folks who are older, their immune systems aren't so good, maybe they have other conditions like diabetes, or they've got a susceptibility to pneumonia, they're going to experience some potentially life-threatening problems if they get the flu. So the problem is that the flu shot works best in healthy individuals, paradoxically, the very individuals who we don't think may need the flu shot as much, except for the inconvenience of having the flu. So they amped up the flu shot for seniors this year, and they say it's very promising that it actually is going to work. And that's what they've been saying for decades, is take the flu shot because this year it's better. And that remains to be seen because we'll only know after this year's flu season in, March or April, that, whether it was efficacious or not in the very population it's supposed to protect. The concern, too, is that it's a new vaccine. And as such, we don't yet know what the potential side effects might be. And I'm not saying, you know, as to the flu shot, I'm not saying you shouldn't get it, but, you know, as to whether I'm a believer or an atheist on this, I'm sort of an agnostic. I think, yeah, you know, if you want, you can take it. If you have a serious medical condition, you probably have a stronger reason to take it, underlying medical condition. But the question is, could there be side effects? And that's not something that we know yet. I mean, in the pre-marketing studies, the approval studies, the side effects were minimal. It didn't cause any, you know, big disasters. But when it's administered to millions of people, those side effects may emerge, even if they're relatively rare. So that's the deal with the flu shot. I mean, other things you can do, you know, when you're taking a medication like Nexium, where it could interfere with your risk of the flu is that it causes some malabsorption. So you may not absorb nutrients properly, particularly magnesium, but also B vitamins, potentially zinc, which is something that's good for your immune system, and perhaps even vitamin D, which is crucial for immunity against viruses. So hopefully you're taking some supplements, right, Peggy?
Well, I can't right now because my stomach bothers me, and I can't really.
So at the very least, you can take vitamin D, okay? And that's very easy on the stomach. I would recommend that, you know, without even seeing you, you could take 2,000 international units, perhaps, if you had a low vitamin D, which I suspect if you're not taking supplements and you're taking a medication that interferes with absorption, you might need as much as 5,000. And that in itself, I mean, according to some studies, confers as much or more protection than taking the flu shot, is taking getting adequate amounts of vitamin D. It's not a coincidence that the flu visits us in epidemic form in the winter when there's less sunlight, because that's when people's vitamin D plummets, and that may be part of why flu epidemics are seasonal, because, you know, it's a seasonal fluctuation in vitamin D, and at the very least, you should be taking some vitamin D to confer some protection against flu.
Okay.
Whether you take the vaccine or not, you know, that's your personal choice, and I'm not going to weigh in on it, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, my pleasure. This item, if you've had a heart attack, you're often advised to get off of coffee and caffeinated beverages because they're supposed to be bad for the heart. Well, they did a study on this very subject, coffee consumption after myocardial infarction and the risk of cardiovascular death. And what they found was quite interesting. They discovered in a study that coffee consumption, and whether it's caffeinated or decaf, was associated with protection against cardiovascular death. It was inversely associated with cardiovascular disease mortality. So something in the coffee outweighs the adverse effects of the caffeine, and what it is are the beneficial dark polyphenol compounds, similar to what you find in red wine and in cocoa and in tea. And those may confer protection against the heart. So no longer do you have to obey the cardiologist's blanket recommendation that you ditch the coffee after you've had a heart attack. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us. And remember, this program, Intelligent Medicine, is just the tip of the iceberg of the intelligent medicine phenomenon. You can get lots more information at drhoffman.com. Listen to our podcasts, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, because we get the word out on nutrition and health, and you can become a more informed health consumer by checking out Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.